Good evening to everybody. It's good to be here. I guess after a little while, y'all got me in Spanish. Well, some of y'all used to man of war kept telling me, come, so I'm here. And it's good to be here, be able to minister the Lord's word with you. I can't tell you how encouraging it was tonight to hear those young men get up and bring their prayers before the Lord. And I tell you, it's something that I myself have been praying for so long, especially y'all know recently the passing of our brother Neil Dougal and brother Bill Hine. Been praying that the Lord would raise up some more young people to take over his work. And it's so good to hear that. Just keep continuing. I believe I first started taking part in prayer meeting when I was 16. And I just regret that I didn't start earlier. But it's good to be here. It's one story I like to tell whenever I first go anywhere to speak, because it's a story about a young preacher. And maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but this young preacher was taught in Bible school that if ever he got on the pulpit and he forgot what he was about to say, just think of the last thing he said and just repeat the last thing he said and it should come back to him. So he went through Bible school and he came on the pulpit for the first time. And in the middle of his message, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And he stopped. And his mind went completely blank. He thought back to Bible school. That's right, repeat what I said. So he repeated again, "Behold, I come quickly." Still his mind was blank. So he decided maybe get a little bit forceful the third time and maybe everything would come to him. So he decided, he shouted out, "Behold, I come quickly," and he pounded on the pulpit as hard as he could. In just that minute, he hit the pulpit a little bit too hard because the pulpit toppled down, he tripped on the wire, fell right in the lap of the woman in the front row. This woman turned to him, "So sorry. And he says, "No, it's not your fault." She says, "No, it's not your fault. You warned me 3 times. I should have got out of the way." Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. I will be thinking a little bit this evening about prayer. How wonderful prayer is. Matthew chapter 7, we want to read verses 7 through 11. So our Lord Jesus ministers from the Sermon on the Mount, as we sometimes call it. It says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. For he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Let's just bow our heads for a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your word, the scriptures. We thank you that you have given them to us and that you speak to us through them. We realize that there are many people in many countries today and tonight who would give anything for just a few pages of the Bible. Just a few words, yet many of us have it in abundance. We pray tonight as we take a look into these precious words that you have given to us, that your Spirit would just speak to each one of our hearts. It would encourage us and challenge us. Just give us the strength and courage to continue on in prayer for you and continue on loving you and living the life that you have given to us, this brand new life as a Christian. Be with us in our time together. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Prayer is something that's absolutely amazing. That's all I can say about it. And if there's anything that ever proves the Christian faith, it's prayer. So many times we've seen prayer answered in the past. So many times we've seen ones who are sick, ones who are at the point of death, maybe a lot flown out of here to Nassau or to Florida or somewhere, as we do home, and we've seen people pray for them. And they've been healed, and the doctors can't even understand how they were healed. They didn't know that someone was praying for them. And that's the wonderful thing about prayer. But tonight I want to talk about how our prayers can be answered. And how we can pray knowing that we're going to get an answer to our prayers. Because we're told here Jesus Christ said, "Ask, and it will be given unto you." Notice that he doesn't say ask and it may be given unto you. He doesn't say seek and you might find it. knocking, it maybe the door will be opened unto you. He says it will be opened unto you. But we want to take a look at tonight at how it can be opened unto you. How you can know when you get on your knees in prayer, whenever it may be, morning, noon, night, that God is going to answer your prayers. This is what He promises us. How can we be sure we'll get what we ask for? I don't know about you, but prayer is probably one of the weakest points of most Christians' lives. We find it one of the hardest things to do. I can honestly say I know of only about two people that I would look on and say that prayer was probably the strongest point in their Christian life. One of them's a brother in Nassau I know, gets up every morning at 4 o'clock and spends roughly 2 to 3 hours in prayer every morning. And he has a list that he goes through every day of people. It's about an hour and a half long it takes him to go through. And then he just has the rest of his time he spends in other things that are going on at the time, a special prayer request. And I believe that if we can be sure that we'll get what we ask for in prayer, a lot of us would be more willing to pray. But the first most interesting thing we want to look at prayer, and if any of you have ever heard me preach, or if you've been to Man of War and heard on the radio, I like to use a lot of scripture references, so keep your Bible handy tonight. I might call on some of you to read some for me. First, turn to John chapter 16 and verse 24. And we'll read verse 23 also. Just for connection, it says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Focusing on verse 24, Jesus tells the disciples, basically, why haven't you asked it for anything yet? And I look at each one of us tonight, and I look at myself also, and think about the problems that we face, whether they be big or small. Have we carried them to God yet? And Jesus first asked, why haven't you asked yet? God wants us to ask of Him. God wants us to pray, and God wants us to make requests of Him. We think about the wonderful things that He's done for us already. From the beginning of time, He started out with making man and woman absolutely perfect, placing them in the perfect place with no sin. We think, well, what better case could it be? Man fell. God said, all right, I'll give you another chance. He set up the law at Mount Sinai and the time of sacrificing and feast. But soon man forgot about God's law and disobeyed God's law and did what was wrong. So God said, well, I'll still do something else for you. I'm going to send one, my only son, Jesus Christ. And it's hard enough to believe that Jesus Christ would become a man. The same one who made all the trees that we see around us. The same one who made the stars that we look up in the heavens. The same one that made each one of us, wanted to become one like us. With all of our flaws and imperfections. That's amazing in itself. But not only that, God said, I'm going to let you die for all of mankind. All of mankind must die for their sins, but you're going to die. And you're going to be punished. And you're going to be made sin for all of them. I'm sure we all know the many sufferings, what it must have been for Christ there on Calvary. The physical pain of those nails driven through his hands, the crown of thorns on his head. We're told in Isaiah that he was hardly recognizable as a man when they finished with him. When they were complete, tearing the beard out of his face and ripping his back apart. That was nothing to be compared with what it was to hang on the cross through those hours of darkness when your sin and my sin was placed on him and put on him there on the cross. How terrible it must have been. It was so terrible that God didn't even want the rest of mankind to see the agony in his face. He shut up all the light and all the heavens and made it completely dark. And God's given us the automatic gift of salvation, but then he didn't stop there. said, not only will I save all of these people, I'm not just going to let them roam about the earth. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give them the Bible. I'll give them my direct commandments and my direct words, what they should follow and what they should do. They won't have any questions as to how they live their life. There won't be any questions as to how they should do things that please me and how to obey me. I'll place it all right here in the Bible. And then he said, but I'm still going to give them something else. I'll give them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be there to help them and guide them. When they come to a difficult time, the Holy Spirit will be there to give them encouragement. When they come to a time of a tough decision, the Holy Spirit will be there to show them what to do. The Holy Spirit will be there to help them understand the words that I have put in the Bible. My words. But not only that, but God says, I'm going to give them the opportunity to communicate with me and to talk with me. Not just once a year or once a month, once a week. As the priest of the Old Testament can only come into his presence once a year with the right sacrifices. And if the sacrifice didn't please God, they were struck dead. But God says they can come into my presence anytime, wherever they may be, you can come and pray. And not only that, you can't just come and talk to me and tell me about good things, but you can come and bring the worst things in your life to me and the biggest problems in your life to me. I want you to ask me to help you. This is an amazing God that we serve. We also read in James 1 and 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it to you. If you can't understand the scriptures, if you can't understand something else in this life, if you need help, ask me, and I'm willing to give it to you. That's the first thing we need to realize, that prayer is a privilege, and God wants us to ask him. But it's also a duty, and we should ask him. And as we've read already tonight, God wants to give us good things. It says, what father, if his son had to ask for bread, would give him a stone? And yet, y'all can give good things. How much more can I give to you? And our Heavenly Father stands there and says, come to me. Not only will I solve your problem, I'll give you more besides. And I will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. That's what I'll do for you. I want to give you good things. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8 and 28. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. It's a wonderful promise, knowing that no matter what comes in our life, whether it may seem bad at the time or good at the time, it's going to be for something good if we truly love God. And if we belong to him, and God wants to give us good things. But what I want to address tonight is how can we be sure we'll get what we ask for? And we need to look into God's word for that, to find some very important things about prayer before we even start to pray, things that we should do. The first one is in Psalm chapter 66 and verse 18. Could I get someone to read that for me? Right. If I keep sin in my heart or iniquity, the Lord's not going to hear me. First thing you have to do, if you want your prayers to be answered, all your sin must be confessed. Now, even though we've been made a new creation, our old nature still struggles with the new nature. And we do sin. And we fail many times in the day. And God says, that's okay, as long as you come and ask forgiveness. And he says, if you want to come to me to pray, and you want to bring your requests to me, first confess your sins unto me. This is the psalmist David. He said, if I keep sin in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. How many times before you go to pray, if it's early in the morning when you get up, you bow on your knee, and you say, Lord, you know what I've done recently? I've had pride, maybe pride in my heart. Maybe I've lied to someone. Maybe I've talked bad about someone behind their back. Maybe I've been having thoughts that I shouldn't have. Lord, I need you to forgive me of this. Lord, cleanse me of all of my sins before I even bring my request to you. Wash me with your blood once again and make me clean once again. I've made a big mistake. Please, take away my sin. I know the tendency of many of us is to get on our knees or wherever we may be and say, Lord, you know I've got so-and-so coming up. Please help me with this. Lord, this is happening now in my life. I need you to take care of it. And we forget all about the sin in our life that needs to be confessed. And first of all, before you pray, check and make sure that all your sin is confessed. Because the Bible says God can hear you if that sin's still in your heart. The second thing is in James chapter 1 and verse 6. And I'll read it for you. James 1 and 6 says, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed about. Second thing, first of all, sin's got to be confessed. Second thing, you have to pray in faith. Faith is a wonderful thing. Yet it's one of those low points and difficult points for many of us. Abraham was a true man of faith. Think about it. Get up, leave your family, leave your house, leave your riches, leave your land, and go. And not go to something that's already planned for you, a house that's already built for you. Go to a place that I'm going to tell you about along the way. And you're not even going to know where you go until you get there, until I tell you to stop. Now that's what you call faith. How many of you would be willing right now to leave Spanish Wells and go? God came to you and says, right now I want you to leave everything you got, leave your house, leave your family, leave all your possessions, car, boat, whatever it is, and go. I'm going to tell you where to go when you get there. But just take off and go. Go to the airport and take the first flight leaving, wherever it's going. I know we say, wait a second, God. Hold back a minute. You got to tell me some more about this before I'm going anywhere. And maybe Abraham tried to explain it to his friends. Well, I heard this voice speaking to me. You might say, Abraham, you crazy? You hearing voices? You need to go check down there to the hospital. They could take you in and fix you right up hearing voices out of the sky. But that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. There's another verse about faith in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Someone read that for me. Jesus Christ says here, whatever it is that you're bringing in your prayer, if you believe, if you have faith, you will receive them. Jesus Christ also said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, a little tiny mustard seed, you'd be able to move a mountain. How many times do we get on our knees and we think about the drug addict or someone else down the road who needs salvation? And we say, Lord, I lift them up to you. They need to know about you and they need to come and ask you into their hearts as Savior. Lord, I pray they do it today. And we walk away from a prayer saying, I don't really think God's going to be able to do it. But I'm done my job. I prayed for him. But while we're praying and saying, it would take a miracle for him to be saved. But God says, if you pray in faith, you will receive it. And that's two things now we have to look at before we go to prayer. Is our sin confessed? And do we have faith, believing that God can do it? We don't have any need to doubt him. From that one man, Abraham, God created the race known as the Israelites today. And from that race was that man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that one man, Abraham, had faith enough to follow God, The whole world right now has the opportunity to go to heaven. And that's what powerful faith can do. How much faith do we have tonight? Do we believe when we pray that He can do it? The same one who we're told all the heavens are just the work of His fingers. Can you imagine that? Just for a minute. Just stand outside and take a look at all the stars. The speed of light is 186,000 miles. Not per minute, per second. And to reach one of those stars, if we were to travel at the speed of light, it would take several million years to reach the nearest one. Yet that star is just among millions that are in our little tiny solar system. And that solar system is just something inside of our huge galaxy called the Milky Way. And that Milky Way is just a galaxy among many, many galaxies in the universe. And as far as scientists can look out and look out, they can't find any end to it. And God says, all that I just made with my fingers. Touching my fingers. Now this person wants to do something for you. And wants to answer your prayer. Imagine what He can do for your life. We need to remember that. It's all you need to think about whenever your faith is down. Pray in faith. The third thing, it's a little bit harder. I'll read 1 John 5 and 14. Says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We need to pray according to God's will. And that's a hard thing sometimes for us to do. I'll also read one more verse, John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Tells us, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we need to pray according to God's will and ask according to His name. And when we say asking according to His name, many of you, I don't know if you all do it here, but starting home, especially in Abaco on the mainland, if you go to Florida, you see a big house being built or a hotel or a restaurant of some sort, and in the front of it is a sign, the name of the contractors, whoever's doing it, whatever their name may be. And if someone takes a look at that building and they happen to notice something terribly off in the building, maybe they've made a huge mistake, they're going to look at that sign and say, those people can't do good work at all. Or if that person happens to go and inspect the building and he sees it's a beautiful job done, they're going to take a look at the sign at the name of the contractor and say, this guy does good work. Now, even though that man may have never actually done anything on that specific building, he may have just overseen it, it's his name what people are going to notice. And we need to ask things according to Christ's name. And when we consider it in that light, that He's the one people are going to put down or lift up because of how we act. When we bring our prayers to Him, and we pray our prayer, would Jesus' seal of approval be on our prayer? Would He say that I'm glad for what you're praying for? Maybe we may come to Him and we have a problem, and we come and tell Jesus the best way to solve it. We have a tendency to do that. Lord, I'm having a problem with my family. You know, if you would let my brother or my sister come and apologize to me, everything would be a whole lot better. But maybe it's us who need to do the apologizing and need to do the patching up. And that wouldn't be praying according to God's will. We know certain things we can pray for that are definitely the Lord's will. And that's for people to be saved. That's for His word to be spread. That's for Christians to grow. And just on the other, the next chapter of John, chapter 15, verse 7, says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And more or less it's saying, if you want to know what my will is, spend some time with me. If you wanted to know what someone in this church liked or disliked, you could go and ask some of their close friends or their family, but the best thing to do would be to spend time with them. You'd soon learn what kind of foods they like. You'd soon learn what they like to do in their free time. You soon might learn what their dislikes were. It's the same thing with God. If we want to find out what His will is, we need to spend time with Him. One of the hardest things to do is to spend time with God. We may sit down at home after a day of work and we say, Lord, it's time for me to come to you and just spend some time with you, alone talking to you. You sit down, you sit on the remote control for the TV. And Satan says, you know, your favorite show's on right now. 8 o'clock, Friday night. Why don't you just turn it on, watch that first, half an hour or so, and then you can spend your time in prayer. So you turn it on. You watch that show, and then suddenly a good movie's coming on afterwards, a movie you've been wanting to watch for a long time. Satan says, watch that, and then you can spend time in prayer. So you decide to watch that. By the time the movie's over, time for bed. And the Lord's been placed on the back burner. Say, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Lord. And we've got time for many other things. But we don't have time for Him. And if we want to find out what His will is, we need to spend time with Him. Don't answer me out loud, but how much time have you spent with Him so far today? Just to sit alone and talk with Him. Just to sit alone and meditate and consider things about Him. Spend time with Him and learn His will. And then we can pray according to His will. That's why so many men in the Scriptures were given special revelations by God, because they spent time with Him and were allowed to see certain things in the future. We're allowed to see how God's hand was going to work because they spent time with Him. James, the brother of Jesus, it was known that he would go in the temple and would spend so much time with God in prayer that his knees and his legs would lose feeling from being on them for so long. And when he went to arise, he couldn't even walk because he had spent so much time with the Lord. Are we that type of person? Move to the fourth point. And it's a story in the book of Luke, chapter 18, that gives us the fourth point of how we can know our prayers will be answered and things we should do if we want to see our prayers answered. It's a parable that Jesus tells in the first 8 verses. It says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end. The men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though we bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And the parable here is speaking about persistent prayer, praying over and over again. And it's telling us to serve this wicked judge. And this woman came to him who was having a problem with someone else, had done something wrong to her, and he just pushed it off to the side. But yet she kept coming to him. Day after day after day, she would appear in his court and ask him to take up her case. And because the judge was so tired of her coming, and because she kept coming and saw how important it was to her, he decided he would solve her case. There's another parable told by Jesus about a man who had a visitor in the middle of the night and didn't have any bread, so he went to his friend and he knocked on the door. In those days, they lived in 2-story houses, The bottom story was just open, and all the cattle were placed in there in the night, and everyone lived on the top story. So I'm sure she heard the knock on the door, and the man yelled out, "Please, I need bread. A friend of mine has come from a long journey." He just thought, "I ain't going down there through them cattle tonight." Maybe he even threw the covers back over him and tried to go back to sleep. But that man kept coming and kept knocking. And he gave him the bread because he kept asking. Do we go to the Lord in prayer and bring our request to Him and say it once and leave it there and that's it? It wouldn't seem like it was much importance to the Lord if we only asked it once. I know someone came to me and needed something. Maybe they need to borrow $20. Came to me and said, "Brother Rich, can I borrow $20? I'm going to need it. I need $20 by tomorrow." So, "Well, I don't have any right now, but just check me later." They never returned again. I would think that they found the money somewhere else, or they just didn't need my help anymore. How do you think God looks on us when we just ask something once and that's it? It seemed like it wasn't too important and didn't matter too much. But God says He wants us to keep praying and continually pray to Him. A good exercise to do is make yourself out a prayer list of people and things that need to be prayed for every day. And every day make sure you have that special time to come to Him. And because you keep bringing the requests to the Lord, He will answer them. Our fifth thing, it's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And just the first part of the verse tells us there, "Let us draw near with a true heart." To stop right there. And God says, pray sincerely. It says with a true heart. Don't come and pray to me just because someone else has given out the request in church. Or because you think it's a good thing to pray for this person who's sick. But you're not really interested. I'm glad to see tonight the list of missionaries that went down, the list and that were prayed for. So many of us have a tendency, we come to the end of our prayers, especially I do, and say, "Lord, just, we pray for missionaries all about wherever they are and everybody, amen." It makes God realize that we're not too interested in them, we're just lifting them up just because. But we need to get down and learn about those missionaries. Learn what troubles they're going through. Learn how God is blessing their work. If someone is sick, find out what the problem is. Keep continually calling to find out how they're progressing. And you know how to bring that problem to Him. Maybe you're praying right now. Maybe you're having a trouble with, as I said before, maybe your family. Or maybe you're having trouble with where you work, place of business. Maybe you just come to the Lord and say, "Lord, please help me with this," and you leave it at that. But if we would come to Him and explain the problem, explain where the difficulty is, He'd be more willing to help us because He sees that we're praying sincerely. Maybe we pray, "Lord, we pray for those who minister Your word, those who are the preachers, ones that are here and ones that are in other places. Lift their names up to the Lord. Learn about them. And be able to pray more sincerely for them." And God notices those who pray sincerely. God looks on the outward appearance. I'm sorry, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Your words may come out, but God knows what's going on inside here and how you really and truly feel about that person. If you pray for the unsaved, if it's really in your heart to see them saved, you would also witness to them. You would talk to God about them and you would talk to them about God to see them saved. The last thing, if you want to see your prayers answered, maybe you can look through the Bible and find many other things, but the last one I want to look at in James chapter 4 and verse 3, if I could also get someone to read that. The last thing, if you want to see your prayers answered, don't pray for your own selfish gain. Make sure when you come into prayer and you're bringing your problems, it's not all about me, 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 me. You know the story of the Pharisee and the publican? And all the Pharisee prayed was I, over and over. And that's all he could think about. Make sure your prayers don't consist of that. Make sure that you're not praying for your own selfish gain. There are a lot of people I know around that are having trouble with finances, and they come to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me with my finances, be able to meet my bills. And I tell them, make sure you ain't praying for your own selfish gain, so that when the Lord will heap a bunch of money on you, that you could do great things for yourself and make your life more comfortable. Make sure that if you were to receive such a blessing from the Lord, the blessing of money, it's a special gift that God gives to certain people, that you're going to be willing to use it for Him. Such as some of you that are going to be sending things down to those who need help from the hurricane. Maybe you see a need for work done right here around the chapel building. Some repair work or something new that needs to be added on. Be ready and willing to use what you have for the Lord. And don't pray for your own selfish gain. And if we do follow these few little things, we're told in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer for a righteous man availeth much. And that prayer will be very, very powerful. And God will use your prayer. And so we look again. Ask, you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Let me just quickly go down the list. Make sure your sins confessed. Make sure you have faith when you go to prayer. Make sure you're praying according to God's will. Pray persistently. Pray sincerely. And don't pray for our own selfish gain. And that's the way that we can see our prayers answered. And that's the way we can have a powerful and amazing prayer life. And a wonderful prayer life. We follow these things we find here in God's Word. Let's just close in a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this privilege we have to come and bring our requests to you. We thank you that you have laid down guidelines in your Bible of things you would like us to follow and want us to follow if we want to see our prayers answered. Help us to follow these things, Lord. Give us a more powerful prayer life and a better prayer life, a stronger prayer life each day. Give us the willpower to be able to spend more time with you, realizing that you come first, and everything else comes far behind. And as was prayed already tonight, remind us that it's only what's done here on this earth for you is what's going to last. The rest will be burned away. We thank you for each one that's out here with us tonight. We just thank you for the privilege of sharing your word and looking into your word. We just ask for your blessing now, in your son's name. Amen.